All right, today we're going to continue the topic we've been talking on the last couple weeks, and that is in regard to what we do with the blessings that God gives us and how we honor Him with our possessions and the things that He pours out to us. We started in the book of Luke, chapter 16, talking about the parable where Jesus said, "How do you do with the godly mammon, the ungodly mammon?" And He said, "If you can't manage the ungodly mammon well, who will give you the true riches?" And He said, "Faithful in little, faithful in much." And so we have a God who has all power, all authority, all possessions. Everything is God's. But as He puts into our hands, are we being faithful with the things that God entrusts us in? And we talked about our possessions last week and how God must come first, that we need to partner with God in our lives, that we need to go to God and look to Him for His blessings, to look to Him for His help and instruction, that He would take us and increase us. And a great part of that is looking to take what God has blessed us with and to realize it is an opportunity to give to others. The rich have an opportunity to give to others, and we certainly are those who are rich. So again, notice with me now in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present age." And we defined rich, we said, the top 1% of all earners in the world, which is if you make more than $34,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of all earners. "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." And that is who gives us everything. And He does want you to have enjoyment with the things that He blesses you with. But notice this: "Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share." There is a mindset that when God has put you in this nation that is so blessed, it's the mindset that Garrett was just talking about. That when you see the need and you realize we have been so richly blessed, is your heart and mind going out thinking of others with the things that God has blessed you with? Because God says, this is the command, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. It's a mindset of those who are godly and who have wealth in this present age. And certainly we have been blessed with wealth. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Just reviewing another verse that we've covered here in the previous 2 weeks. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4 verse 28. This is the spirit of the commandment that says, thou shalt not steal. Here's the spirit of the law. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer. Right? Don't steal. But the spirit is not just about what not to do. The spirit of God's law has an implication of what we should do. So if He doesn't want us to steal, what does God want us to be doing? But rather, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. When you go to work, is this what you're thinking about? That I am laboring to give to others. It's not just about my personal survival or my family's personal survival. I'm thinking about that. Of course, it says that he who does not provide for his own household is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. But realize, who gives the blessing? Who is it? God. If God is the one who gives the blessing, and you say, God, give me labor that I can have something to give to others, help me to develop this pattern of giving. God, you are a giving God. Help me to develop the pattern of behavior that I can give. So labor, think, work, be diligent. Do it thinking, what can I give to someone else? Notice again, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Do you realize what happens when we all as a church think this way? That we're all thinking about we're working to give to those who have need. That's how you get prosperity busting out of a church and liberality to give on every occasion. Because we're thinking about, I'm working to give. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm not just talking about dollar bills. There are so many ways to labor and to work what is good in order to give those who have need. You can meet needs in so many ways. So understand, this whole conversation we're having, we might be relating it to money, But money is simply a reflection of things that should be going on in our heart and our lives. As I said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. The way you manage money, the way you take the things that God has blessed you with, simply are a demonstration of His heart, His mind, His character, His attitude about life. That is how you truly manage your money in a godly way. When you think about it, the power that you have, the finances, the resources that you have, the way God does. And if we do that, we're successful. That's why the commands to the rich. Be thinking, how am I growing, developing for someone else? We can't just think about ourselves and how we want to spend it on us. Because that in itself is selfishness. That's what led to Sodom and Gomorrah. But we are those who say, no, this is a blessing from God. How can we take being ready to give, willing to share? And we need to do that and think about that as a church. Now let's turn over to the book of Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs today because we're going to talk about some of the specifics in the way that God has given principles. And there's so many verses in the Bible on money. It's incredible. But when we talk about what would God have us do, how would God have us approach our finances. We talked about honoring God. We talked about giving tithes last week, giving to God first, setting the priority to give to God first, to give and save up, to store up, to go celebrate His feast, His plan. We talked about saving and storing up to give to those who are in need. But what do you really do with this money that you get? Notice in verse 6 of chapter 6 of Proverbs, it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in summer and gathers her food in the harvest." You, my friends, are to be managing your own lives. See, you can be forced to do things by people. You can force conformity. But what God wants to see is your heart. When you look at the way you manage your money, what you do with it, you can evaluate by the verses we just read in 1 Timothy 6, has this been your heart of what you do with your money? Are you thinking about it the way God would have you think about it? Are you thinking about who it comes from, that it comes from God? That when you don't give to God a first portion of what you make, you're robbing God, that you're taking from Him. So when you think about money, think about it's your heart, because God wants you to make the decision yourself. To honor Him, to give to Him, to give to those in need, to be ready to give and willing to share. These are issues of your heart. See, there's no enforcement. You don't have to ever give to this church. If you feel that you've been ministered to here, give to the church. We will use it faithfully in good ways. But if you say, hey, I want to give it somewhere else, give it somewhere else. You're giving to God. You're giving to God. So you find places. I give to this church because I believe in what God is doing here. But if you say, hey, I don't believe in it, I want to give here, or I see needs here and here, then give. But you're never going to have me saying, what did you give? Because I don't care what you give. I don't even look at what you give. I don't want to know. If you're giving zero or you're giving a million here, I don't know. Well, I know you're not giving a million because the account's not that big, but I do realize that, you know, come on, guys, step up. So, but I mean, I don't know what you give, and I don't want to know. I don't want that to ever deter the way that I serve you, and it won't be. Money is not the issue. You could be giving all kinds of places, and I think that you are, and that you're going to give, but this is your choice before God. You need to make this decision to give because it's the right thing to do. So he says, consider the ant. No master, no overseer. Don't need a captain. I don't need to be told what to do. The ant just does it. And that's the kind of heart that we develop as we become converted before God and the things that we do. Let's turn over to Proverbs 13, verse 4. Proverbs 13, verse 4. Proverbs 13 and in verse 4. Notice what it says here. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. The soul of the diligent shall be made rich. There's the first principle of thinking about the ant. The ant gets up and works. 6 days you shall work and do all your labor. The seventh day you shall rest. But The ant goes out to work, and you consider the wonderment of the ant. The ant is not lazy. Now, I never saw a lazy ant. Ants just work. They work hard. They tell themselves what to do. The lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now, we're not going to focus on the verses regarding labor in the Scripture, but if you look up all the verses in the Bible that talk about labor and work, you'll realize there are a lot about labor, work, working hard. Why? Because it works in you the right kind of things. It's idleness that creates so many issues. But work and working for the right things creates productivity. You and I were made to be productive creatures, to bear fruit. And of course, ultimately, spiritual fruit. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. So here's the question. Do you have a plan? The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Do you have a plan for plenty? Have you thought about the way you take the blessings that God gives you, and do you think about it? Do you think about the principles of plenty? You know, if a farmer went out to his field in days when it was not easy to go and buy seed from anybody, in the days where men were basically harvesting their produce, and from that they were reaping their own seeds, if you went out and you consumed everything, and all the crop that could have been used for seed, you consume it, what do you have to plant? Now, this is, again, the principle of the ant. When the ant is out gathering, 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 they're thinking, winter, winter, winter. Things happen in life. It's not always bounty. It's not always harvest. Yet so often mankind doesn't consider there are seasons in life where there are times of harvest and there are times of winter where you don't have much. But the ant is thinking in harvest about winter. And in winter, he's thinking planting. And planting, he's thinking harvest. And harvest and gathering and going about. This is the way we need to think about our lives. If you don't have a plan for plenty, how are you going to have plenty? Now, again, think about this from the standpoint of we, a wealthiest nation in the history of mankind, that we have so much abundance based on the number of people that we have, where you can consider the average person in this country, all is in the top 1% in the whole world of earners, that we have plenty. How do we use the plenty? What are we doing with it? Do we have a plan for what we do? Notice with me here, learning to store in summer for winter. If at age 25 you invest $3,600 per year at a 10% annual yield and contribute $300 every month until you're 65, how much money will you have at 65? How much money do you end up with? $3,600 a year. That's $300 a month. What does that come out to be? When you've done it, you will have invested about $144,000 over your life at $3,600 a year, $300 a month. Now, I chose 10% because 10% is what the markets have done. If you go back 100 years on average, that's what the S&P 500 has done since 1942. The NASDAQ 100 has done about 9.7%. The Dow Industrial Average has done over 10%. This is just if you went and invested in some broad-based, the biggest companies you could find and did this. The other thing is if you look at real estate. Real estate's about the same thing. It's about 10, 11%. The amount of money you get from rents, the amount of money that you get from the appreciation of the land, these are things that you have. So I chose 10% because it's an average number that's out there for many indices. You can do better than 10%. But 10% you can do simply by being smart with the money that you have. So when you do that and you invest over that amount of time, what do you end up with? About $2.1 million. For a young person to start when they're 25, you can invest $3,600 a year, and at a 10% annual yield over 40 years, you end up with $2.1 million. That is a plan for plenty. Now, I'm trying to show you that if you take and think about winter, if you think about wintertime, what percentage do you need to take to start putting away for the future to have and end up having quite a bit? Little amounts consistently set aside end up being big amounts. Now, here's what's interesting about this. $3,600 per year. $3,600 per year. If you did that for 40 years, you end up with the $2.1 million. How much could you then live on and never deplete your $2.1 million? $100,000 a year. That's a plan for plenty. If you think about planting seed, if you think about development in your finances, if you think about what you can do and what is out there and what is capable of being done, just based on historical averages, it can be quite great. So you say, $3,600 a year for 40 years could get me $100,000 a year till I die, and then I could leave the $2.1 million to my kids, or to my children's children, or to the kids in India. What if, when you died, you took the $2.1 and put it in trust, and every year it spits out $100,000 for those little children in India? This is the way we need to think about at least a portion of our finances. We give to God today. We have money for ourselves and for our living, but are you thinking out future? Do you have any plans? Because when God is saying, consider the ant's storing up in harvest for winter. When God is saying, the plans of the diligent surely lead to plenty here in chapter 21, verse 5, He also says, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. What are you doing with what you have? And the reason I said 10% was because that's not being hasty. That's not being hasty. That's just doing what's average. What's average in investments? About 10%. Notice with me here in Proverbs 21, verse 25. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. I want you to think about this. Are you laboring with your money? Are you putting your money to work for you? Do you remember we talked about in 1 Timothy 6? You can't serve God and mammon both. Luke 16. You can't serve God and mammon both. Is money your slave to go to work for you? Or are you constantly working for it because you're coveting greedy all day long and you always are chasing the next buck to pay for the thing you want? That's a greedy way to live. Because you're thinking about my lusts, my needs, my desires. The prayer should be, bless me, not only provide for my needs, as it says in Matthew 6, verses 33 to 34, but give me enough to bless others with. This is the way God wants us to think. See, if it's all about what I need, what I can consume, it kind of stops here. But when your prayer to God is, no, cover this, cover what I need, but you know what I need, but give me enough to bless others with. There is a prayer that before God, now God's saying, It's like the parent with the child. You want to do good? You start opening the purse strings. You start opening the wallets. You start opening the bank accounts because that's a good thing. If I can get you taking of the things that I give you and you don't just hold them for yourself, but you start sharing them with others, what is God developing? He's developing a mindset of planning, of labor, of diligence. How can I pour it out? So think about the possibilities of what you can do when you're thinking about the management of your own money. This is just to show you possibilities, to get you thinking that you can do more with your money. You can plan more, and plans that if you lay before God, say, bless this is what I want to do. Think about that in your life. Think about the possibilities of what you can do. See, I get excited when I think about Garrett having ministers going in India and the Philippines. I get excited when I think about the orphans and the widows because I have plans for the future. How can we fund this? How can we do things on a thing today, giving some, but also just thinking out ahead? We've got to have a plan. thinking about the purposes and plans for which God has blessed you. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says this. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no revelation or prophetic vision, if there is no looking ahead in life, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Very interesting thing about money and about life. See, what I'm talking about is delayed gratification. I'm talking about not taking something that you could spend on yourself today and putting it for something to spend on somebody else in the future. That's delayed gratification. You have to think out ahead. Now, I want you to think about what sin often is. Sin is often thinking about today, taking what feels good, what seems good, what stimulates me today, not thinking about the future. So when God puts these kind of verses in Proverbs and He's talking about the plans of the diligent, He's talking about having revelation and looking out and having a vision, when He's talking about considering the ant and the different scriptures He talks about the way you should view money, not as something you worship, but something you use as a servant for you, He's talking about looking out, thinking outside of yourself, thinking about the plans that you have to share. Because God Himself had the plan to share. When He, from the beginning and the foundation of the world, He said, Jesus Christ sacrificed from the foundations of the world. But what did He do? He was patient to the right time to send His Son. And even when He sent His Son, He didn't send Him as an adult ready to sacrifice everything. He sent Him as a babe. And He had Him grow up as a human. And He had Him live life in a family, in culture. And He had Him go through all the processes that you have when you grow up. And to be tempted in all points, right? To have all the feelings of the lusts of the flesh that want to bring you into sin. And yet it says He was without sin. He said no. He said no to today thinking about the future and thinking about all of us. He was thinking, how can I take what I have, which was the glory of God, now come in the flesh as Emmanuel, and He could deliver it to us, the great riches of eternal life that He came to give. And then He gave His life for us. And He was spilled out and poured out as a sacrifice for us. Delayed gratification. And even now, as He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, He is interceding on our behalf. And He is waiting for that day when He will come, when the Father will send His Son again. Thinking out. Money, and the way you manage money with a plan, is simply an exercise of character and heart to say no to self today, to say yes to other people and to future generations. There is a thought that God has where we look out and we think out for others and what we do to look ahead and to think ahead. Turn with me over to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. See, God can direct all wealth. God can direct where money comes from. But notice this. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You're thinking out, not just even to your own children, you're thinking out to the next generation. You're thinking, where is it going? And you look at the way wealth has been managed and wealth is squandered. It comes back to basic principles of the character and wisdom of Almighty God. Where does it go? Why does it fly away? A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but it also says, but the wealth of sinners is stored up for the righteous. It flies away. There is no lasting thing. God uses this wealth, this money, to think about future things. Do you think about that, what you can do? Do you think about taking and storing up for others and for works of ministry that can be done? See, there is something to be paid today. But I would also challenge you that in a society of wealth and riches, think about the possibilities of what you can do. Think about the possibilities of what you can do for someone else. I want you to think about a financial principle. It's called the rule of 72. Who knows what the rule of 72 is? One person. Oh boy. One person. The rule of 72 is very simply this, that if you take the number 72 and divide it by whatever interest rate you have relative to about 10%, it will show you the number of years it takes to double your money. So if you have a 10% rate of return, 72 divided by 10 means that it takes 7.2 years to double your money. So let's say you're thinking about a purchase. Think about where the money goes, really. I had somebody recently ask me about possibly taking money out of a retirement account. And they wanted to end up taking maybe about $100,000 out of a retirement account. And they weren't of age yet, so they could have had like heavy penalties and taxes because 10% comes off the top. Then you have to pay taxes at your top rates of taxation today. It gets to be a very expensive thing. You end up losing about 40%, 50%, depending, maybe even more, depending on how much money you make. So you spend a lot to take it out. But here's the other thing. What if you left $100,000 in, and this was, again, a young man who had done well. What if you left it in for 30 years? 30 years. Money doubles over four times at 10%, right? So the $100,000, $200,000, $400,000, $800,000, $1.6 million. The decision wasn't about $100,000. The decision was about $1.6 million. Because he wanted to pull out of something he was already saving for retirement. It wasn't affecting his tithe or his giving or his standard expenses, but that was what he was looking to flush. Do you think about that in terms of the money that you make? The money that you can put toward good causes and manage with a plan of diligence. It's the same plans when you consider a field and start to plant. Planting to grow to harvest. You have to think about this. Some people get tricked in the world of thinking that planning is not good. That somehow you shouldn't think about what you do with your money. You should just put it all out. I would ask you to consider, then why did God make us wait so long for things to grow in our gardens? Right? If it was all like, get it out there, put the seed in, grab it, it's gone. There's a process of storage. Why did he send Joseph to Egypt to say, there's going to be 7 years of plenty? Here's the plan God gave. Take 20% of each of the years and store up for the famine years. Our society tricks us into thinking this is all foolishness. I tell you, no, this is the way it's been. How did you think Abraham became so wealthy? Was it through trading? Was it through spending? Where did he come from? People don't look at money and realize it's an exercise in character. It's not about the money or having money or storing up wealth or putting your trust in money. It's about taking money and saying, you're my servant. Here's the money. You are going to be the servant that's going to provide for me so I can do full-time ministry and stop going to a job every day. That's your job. Go work. Develop yourself to do that. You servant dollar, you're going to go to the orphans of the world. I'm going to figure out where the orphans are, and you are going to work. And I know that if you go to work hard enough and I'll put you to labor for me for 30 years, I'm going to have a lot to share with others. And you, sir, dollars, you are going to work for the widows. And you, dollars, you're going to work for this. It's about taking control of your life and realizing there are possessions that God gives you and He's looking for how do you manage. Is it all gone? Or do you have any thoughts that reach outside of yourself and to future generations, to your children's children? Are you looking out further? Thinking about how would you manage this if you're managing a kingdom? It's in the Scriptures. Think about the plans of the diligent. How do they lead to wealth? It doesn't leave by throwing it all away. But see, here's an even more interesting thing. You know, I said you could double your money about four times if you had invested at 10%, right, over 30 years. But what if you can make 12%? That's doable too. It's possible to make 12%. You know what that does? It reduces the number of years from 7.2 to 6. You know what that does? In that 30-year period, now you get the extra doubling. So 200,000 for that young man, 400,000, 800,000, 1.6 million. What does the extra doubling do? 3.2 million. That's what it does. Are you thinking about this? Do you think about the possibilities of what you can do in a society that's wealthy in using the principles of Proverbs to teach you that you have to have a plan of thinking out further ahead? See, because the rich, God says God gives all things for you to enjoy, but He also gave it so you can think about others. How do you think about others and use the gifts that you have for others? People, we have been blessed richly and abundantly. What are we doing with our money? Turn with me to Proverbs 28, verse 19. Proverbs 28, verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread. He who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. Again, the principle of laboring with the things that God puts in your hands, whether it's laboring at your job, laboring in the field, or laboring even with the very possessions that God gives you. Verse 20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So when you take money to think about plans for future, don't go after the quick buck. People play the lottery every week. Billions of dollars go down the drain to win by chance something that if it could be taken and used in a good way, you could have the things that you're trying to get if you weren't hasty in what you did, if you actually applied it with principle. I had a person ask me about this principle. I was talking to somebody about the principles of thinking ahead. Who's going to take care of you when you're older? Are you thinking of taking care of yourself? What are you thinking about in terms of taking care of others in the way that you're managing your finances? What are you doing there? And I had a woman approach me in regard to this, and her stance was, hey, I'm a single mother, make somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000 a year. I don't have it to do. I said, well, think about your life. Are there any ways that it could happen for you? And my question was, do you have the money? She said, I don't have the money to do it. And I said, well, let's think about what you do. Let's just think about it for a minute. The fact of the matter was, I knew something about this woman. And that was, she was a chain smoker. She smoked a lot. Constantly smoking. Buying packs of cigarettes. So I said, hey, what do you smoke during the week? And she said, well, you know, maybe about 2 packs a day if you average it all out. Said, that's a lot of smoking. 2 packs a day. That's a lot of smoking. I said, you ever thought about what that is? What the price is on that? You buy 14 packs of cigarettes a week. You're spending about, you know, $5. Now what, $5.50 a pack? You know, $70. She said, well, it's not fully 2 packs. I said, okay, so it's not the full 2 packs. All right, let's back it off. I said, what about if it was $60 a week on your budget for cigarettes? Yeah, I probably spend $60 a week. All right, fair enough. I said, what would happen if you took the $60, instead of buying cigarettes, you put it into an investment account for you and your child? What would happen? $60 a week for cigarettes becomes $60 a week to invest. It's $3,120 annually. So we're taking money that you have that basically you're lighting on fire, right? Because that's what happens with the cigarette. You light the match, you take the cigarette, and now you're burning dollars, right? You're burning money. And I said, don't burn the money. Let's save the money and put it into an account. What would happen? Now here she was, a young woman, smoking. I think she wanted to, well, she did want to quit, but I said, how much money would you have after 40 years of following this plan? You took your cigarette money and made it your investment money. This is for your future. The $60 a week. 10% annual yield, she would have $1.6 million. Starting right then and there, she had done this for the next 40 years. See, when I look at this, I say, there's no reason, young people, for you not to have money. You're hearing it all right now. If you don't have money, it's your own fault. Some of you didn't start. Now it's a little later. You have to figure out different ways to make it up. For a young person, this is so doable. It's not even funny. So the only things that change this game are, well, Christ returns. The country fails completely. There are those things that can happen. But things have been happening through generations and societies, and things happen. But here's the point. It's not about making sure that 40 years down the road that you ended up with that piece of pie. It's about the character it takes to discipline yourself, to say no to your flesh today, to think about something of the future. The character lesson is the more important lesson. That's what I'm saying, even with the $60 a week. She already had it. It was already discretionary cash in her budget. She just was choosing to light a cigarette with it instead of putting it away, thinking she had to say no to flesh and yes to a longer-term plan of diligence that would provide for her family. Now, she was, as I said, she was making like $35,000 to $40,000. If she had done this to retirement age, what would she have? About $82,000 that would pay her out annually, and she would never have to touch the principal. That's a 5% withdrawal rate. Very doable. That's more money than she was making. A lot more money. But guess what? She has then money for herself and money to give to those who have need. And she's healthy. She's going to live to see that retirement because she stopped smoking. Thank you, Stephanie. So there's a lot of blessings and benefits going on in this plan. The plans of the diligent lead to plenty, the Proverbs say. But if you've got no plan, how do you expect it to lead to plenty? You're not. So, do you see there's something that can be done here? And we're not talking about tremendous amounts of capital going into it. But I imagine there are some of you in the room that make fairly decent salaries. If you think about a principle of paying 10% to your older self, that you, at the age of 65, says to you at whatever age you are today, hey, David, you aren't always going to be 43. You're going to be 65. Are you thinking about you at 65 or me? Because I'm going to be 65, God willing. He gives me life. If He gives me 70, right? 70 years. Are you thinking about the future? Have you had the conversation with yourself down the road? What do you want to do then? God, I have a plan. Here's what I want to do. I want to have enough that I can spend all my time figuring out how to give a whole bunch of stuff away. To orphans, to widows, and preaching the gospel. That's my plan. That's my plan. Will you bless the plan? Put it before God. Will you sacrifice work, time, and even say no to your flesh to have a longer-term plan? Even with someone like this, they can do this. And that $60 a week, that gets spent by people frequently, $50, $60 a week, on all kinds of junk. Most people don't even miss it. It just goes to something. But it's having the diligence and the plan just to start putting little bits away for yourself and thinking ahead. And not only would she get to live on the $82,000, but that $1.6 million, where does that go? To her children's children? Where does it go? To the church that she wants to sponsor? She buys churches in the Philippines. She buys a church in India. She gets a bigger home for the 107 orphans living in a little home. Think bigger. Think bigger about your life. If for no other reason, it shows God you're thinking ahead and planning out something future. Because God has demonstrated in His own work, He thinks ahead. He thought way ahead before He started creating what He was going to plan out and do. It's part of the character of God to look out and think ahead. You realize what He's training us for is eternity. And when you're eternal, you have lots of time to look out and think ahead. What will God have us do? What can God do? The possibilities of what God will do are pretty awesome. Turn with me to Proverbs 21, verse 20. There is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. There is oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Money can be so much like water running through your fingers. It can be a blessing that comes in, and if you're not careful with it, it's going to roll right back out. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with the things with which God has blessed you and the things that He puts into your hand to take care of? Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. I want you to think about that as in terms of business. You know, we not many of us have our agricultural plots, right? But what it's saying is you have to provide a financial foundation before you start building your own house. What does it matter if you build a house and have nothing to fill it with or tend to it with or to keep it with? You have to go work first. Set up your business. Set up your financial plans. Set that up first. Then as you take a look, now you can build your house. What kind of home will you have? What kind of life will you have? What will you do? You set that up second after you figured out what your plans are for work. So here we've just read some verses about the oil is always with those who are diligent and wise, right? We read back in Proverbs 21, again in verse 5. Notice this. Proverbs 21, 5. The plans of the diligent lead to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty lead to poverty. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 17. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man, and he who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Why not? Because they love the stuff so much that whatever comes into their hand goes right back out for what they want to purchase. The eye is never satisfied. Whether you're making, you know, $10,000 a year, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, it'll all go away if you live life by what you want. Because your flesh will take it over and you'll end up with nothing. It will always, the flesh will always demand more. So you have to think about the plan first. Build your financial plan. This is the way we do things. And build the plan like that. Then you have your life. So when you come to the money that you get, give to God first. Give to God first. Think about how you can take what you've been given and honor God in your possessions. Think about the basic needs that you have. Right? Food, clothing. Two things that the Bible says with these we should be content. Food and clothing. Two things. Think about what you're going to do for the future. And make a commitment to pay yourself. Think about how you could share what you have with others. And then all the rest of the money you have, enjoy. Enjoy. Because if you've made yourself a person who's committed their life to God, who's giving to God, who's considering others, who's being wise and diligent in his own plans for plenty, then he says, what I give you, enjoy it. And what you find as you go in plans of life, you realize that as God continues to bless and bless and bless, you have more opportunities to give and give and give. See, the people that I have looked to and I learned from, the men of God who have given them their lives to this and have thought through this, you know what they do? 10% is just a starting point. As you build in wealth, now you start giving 20%, 25%, 30%, 50%. Because you realize, I don't need all this. Because spending the money is not about me. It's about demonstrating to God that as He blesses me with wealth, I know how to let it go to those in need. And therein lies the prosperity principle. That with those who are diligent, they always have something to give. And with those who are run by the flesh, where is it? Where did it go? It's gone. It's been spent. So he who loves oil and wine, he who loves pleasure, will be a poor man. You put pleasure first in your life. Oh, I got to have the latest iPhone. I got to have the latest computer. I got to have the lap of luxury of where I live. I got to have this car. I got to have this. And you're always thinking about what I want, what I want, what I want. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. Just accept it then. But he's not talking about poverty in a good way here. Poverty of spirit is a very good thing. Poverty when God has given you wealth is a poor thing when what you did was spend it on your own pleasure. And he says in Luke 16, if you can't manage the ungodly mammon, how can you be faithful in managing the true? And if you can't manage the ungodly mammon that is given to you, who's going to give you the true riches? This is Jesus, the one who gives true riches, saying this to us. Again, it's not about the money. It's about the practice of character, of honoring God, of walking in a way that is righteous. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. It says this, owe no man anything but to love one another. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Isn't it interesting? He's talking about not owing anybody something, but love and fulfilling the law. This is why I said to you, managing your money is really obedience to the two great commandments, love of God first and love of neighbor as yourself. Paul's saying, owe no one anything. Why do you end up owing people stuff? What has our country done? It's the perfect test case scenario. All the blessings that come, all the desires increase, and suddenly, even what we've been so richly blessed with isn't enough to cover all that we desire and all that we want. So we credit card it. We go into debt to buy a life. I want you to think about what that says to God. God, you gave me $30,000 a year. I wasn't happy with it. So I'm going to spend $40,000. But I asked you, God, to be merciful, and you gave me $50,000. I spent $60,000. You gave me $100,000. I spent $120,000. You gave me $200,000. I spent $300,000. You realize, when we looked at all those bankruptcies a few weeks ago and the number of filings that take place, it's because there's not a satisfaction with what God gives to the point that you can live on what He has. Is God your provider or not? God will provide. God will bless. God will give to you. But you need to think about provision and think about it with what Garrett just said. With what were they content, these children? With food and clothing. They slept on slabs outside under the stars. When it rained, they looked for something inside. It was hot. There was no air conditioning. There was no flooring. Did you see the kids marching to school? Children, what was on their feet? Nothing. They were barefoot. We are so spoiled. We have been blessed, and we take what we've been given and we think it's not enough. How will God look at us? The plans of wealth need to be to share to others. Owe no one anything but to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Do this in our money and our finances. Take it and think of the bigger dreams that are available and the way that you can take of your wealth and bless people today and tomorrow and to the generations coming. Think about what you can do. And be satisfied. If God hasn't given it to you, say, thank you, God. You must see something I don't see. Thank you, God, because you haven't. And let me tell you something. Whether you have money or not doesn't mean squat. It doesn't mean you're righteous or unrighteous. I'm speaking to the rich today. Those of you, you're all rich. I'm speaking to the rich about the way you take your money and the way you manage it. What you're doing with it. I'm speaking to the wealthy that have the opportunity. And why does God give you the opportunity of wealth? So you can take the opportunity to give to the poor. Why did Jesus say, you always have the poor among you? gives opportunity. It gives opportunity to take of the wealth that God gives you and to give it to someone else. See, you can't look at the children in India and say, well, you know, hey, I don't need to really think about that. I don't, you know, I just have to think about me and what I have. Well, that's one choice. But I would submit to you this, that the reason that God can look at the wealthy and He can set aside and look at the impoverished, He's looking to see that the wealthy will say, how can we help the situation? And let me tell you, sometimes giving dollars is not the key. Maybe it's building infrastructure and building designs. Maybe it's giving the cow that can be milked. There's a group called LifeNets. I love LifeNets because they do things that are productive. They spend money in ways that produce ongoing wealth. You know, it's the old principle. Give a man a fish, you fed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you fed him for the rest of your life. What do? They give cows. Cows produce milk. Cows can have more cows. Baby cows. Wealth from God. You start having baby cows, you get what? More milk, more meat. Right? Do things that are thinking forward in your own life and even in your giving. Think of it creatively. Look to think of it like God would. So owe no one anything but to love one another. Proverbs 22:7. It's going to leave you with two other tidbits here. Proverbs 22:7. If you have the principles down, the specifics are all available. There's all kinds of information about the specifics, but if you know why to do it, you'll be successful. Follow the right principles. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says this. Proverbs 22 and in verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Why do you not go into debt? Because it makes you somebody else's slave. Once you go into debt, the borrower becomes the servant. The lender is the master. God doesn't want you to be under other people's authority. You think about this in terms of credit cards. They might have you. You know, if you buy a house and you have a mortgage, you can say, well, that's debt, right? Well, here's the thing. You can walk away from the house and the bank gets their house back. It's an asset. Dollar asset versus house asset. It's a swap. But when you go into debt for things that are just clothing or just daily things of life, you're basically making yourself a slave. And now you not only have to pay back what you borrow, you have to pay back with interest and usury. Don't do that. Right? You are one's slave. That is Jesus Christ. He is the one that we serve. And in our managing of our money, don't let lust rule you and money rule you. Rather, be ruled by Jesus Christ and by the ways that He would have us to manage our money. Proverbs chapter 6, so we'll finish here in verse 1. Proverbs 6 and verse 1. Proverbs 6:1 says this, my son, if you become surety for your friend and have shaken hands and a pledge for a stranger. Now notice that. When it says if you become surety for your friends, this is what happens when you go to a bank and co-sign on a note. It's saying, if my friend can't pay it, I'll assure it. I'll make sure that it gets paid to you. So he's saying, if, son, you have become surety for a friend, you've co-signed on a note, you've shaken hands and a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. You're basically made yourself subject to somebody else's whims. They pay it, they don't pay it. What are they going to do? All the uncertainty and the stress. And let me tell you, as a person who didn't read this verse till after I co-signed with somebody, at the age of 21, that was a big mistake. It was a big mistake. And what I didn't realize when I co-signed a note that was a surety, not just for what was done, but I didn't even read the fine print. And the fine print said that note could be added to. It could get bigger without me having say. That was painful. So when a debt goes from $30-some thousand to $250,000, and you say, I signed a surety for that? Believe me, take it from somebody who learned the hard way. That's not the course to go. That's not the course to go. So he says, give no sleep to your eyes, verse 4, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. You're a prey. You're stuck. Somebody else's whims. You have no peace or rest. Do you know what happens when you owe no one anything? You have a lot more peace in your life. You're not scrimping and scraping to make it, because you don't have to pay them back. So as much as you can in life, owe no one anything. Get rid of debt as much as possible. Be wise with your money and spend less than what you make. Put aside for the future and put aside for giving and generosity to others. When you get your income, don't just think about what can I do with this. Think about what I can give with this. And think about God in all that you have. Honor Him in your possessions first. God says, test me, try me in this, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. He will. And many of us in this room can testify to the fact that when we commit our wealth to God, He does bless it. Commit your possessions to God. He will take care of you. And He will teach you so many things through this valuable tool. And make it your purpose and point never to worship money or the things that money can buy. Put your trust and assurance in Almighty God. Put your faith and confidence in Him. Take of the ungodly mammon and store up for yourself true riches that are in heaven, that last for eternity, that demonstrate your love for God and your love for others.